Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Welcome to the Blake Radio Network Rainbow Soul. I'm Deirdre Shuley, your host, and this is Topically Yours. Well, Lehman Center for the Performing Arts will be experiencing the ultimate dance party on Saturday, April 21st at 8 p.m. when they bring to the Bronx an enduring performer, one who has survived over 30 years in the entertainment business. Well, I guess her motto is, I will survive. And she has survived in an industry that can be pretty rough sometimes. I bet that Miss Gloria Gaynor didn't realize when she recorded I Will Survive in 1978 that it would become her signature song, win her a Grammy, and become the greatest disco anthem of all time. I Will Survive sold over 14 million copies, and it has been translated into over 20 languages. In February of this year, the song was inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame. Born in Newark, New Jersey, Gloria started her career very young and was 19 when she met Clive Davis, who signed her to Columbia Records. She released her first single, Honey Bee, which I played at the top of the show, and then in 1975 recorded Never Can Say Goodbye for MGM. The album went gold. Hit albums experienced Gloria Gaynor and I've Got You Under My Skin followed. Gloria holds a bachelor's degree in psychology and plans to eventually open a nurturing recreation center for teenage parents in her hometown of Newark, New Jersey. Well, it sounds to me like it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful show because Miss Gaynor is going to share the stage with the Hitmen and Colonel Abrams. And she's also going to be singing before a full orchestra. So I would say that's going to be a hot show. But you know what? I'm doing all the talking, and we have Miss Gaynor here. So I'm going to step aside and let her step out front and center and tell her story like only she can. So why don't we welcome Gloria Gaynor to the show. How are you, Gloria?
Hello.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
Well, it seems to me like you've had a very exciting life. I read somewhere that you were wearing a back brace, actually, when you recorded I Will Survive.
Yes, that's true.
What had happened?
Well, I was performing at the Beacon Theater and doing a skit with my background singers, two male background singers. I fell backwards over a monitor, and I jumped back up and finished my show and went out to breakfast that night and then went home to bed and woke up the next morning paralyzed from the waist down.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
So they rushed you to the hospital, or you had to have all kinds of therapy?
Like I said, I was paralyzed, so from the waist down, all I could do was pick up the phone and call my boyfriend, and he came over and he called an ambulance on the way, and he said when they got there, I was screaming at the top of my lungs. I don't remember any of that. And then they took me to the hospital, and I ended up having surgery on my spine, and that's why I had the was in the back brace when I recorded I Will Survive.
That must have been a very scary moment. I mean, I'd be scared if I woke up and I felt I was totally paralyzed and I couldn't move.
Oh, it was very scary. It was very scary. But,
how long was that before you came back? You had to do a lot of therapy? Physical therapy?
I had to do physical therapy. The surgery was in March. I came out of the hospital on July 3rd. And then I recorded I Will Survive in October. That was 78.
Well, let me ask you, I've had so many different performers on my show, and the majority of African-American singers started in the church. Is that the same for you?
No, I didn't start in the church at all. I didn't really go to church very much in my young years. My mother grew up in the church, was inundated with church, and made herself a silent vow that if she had children, she wouldn't make them go to church. So she didn't make us go, and we didn't go.
No. Well, I can understand that. I went to a parochial school during the week, and we had to drive 20 miles. So on Sundays, my mother said, well, I don't care if you're Catholic or not. Just go down to the Protestants, because I'm not driving anywhere. And that's what we did.
Yeah. Well, we didn't much go to church. I didn't start going to church until after I recorded I Will Survive.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, you started, was singing in your, was music in your family, or what got you interested?
Very much so. My father had a wonderful voice, although I never heard him sing. I'm just going by what my mother and their friends told me. My mother had a wonderful voice as well, and so I guess I couldn't help but have some kind of a singing voice. And most of my brothers sang, and they even had a little quartet that they would sing together. But I couldn't be a part of that because I was a girl. You know?
Oh, well,
yeah.
But you topped them by being signed up Columbia Records.
Actually, I'm the only one who ever had sang professionally in my family, other than my father. My father was a professional musician. He played the ukulele and a couple of other string instruments, and as he sang. But no one else in the family has been a professional in the entertainment business. So, yeah, I kind of surpassed them in that. I mean, they sang around the neighborhood, but I sung around the world, so. Yeah.
Well, how did Clive Davis discover you for Columbia?
Well, what happened, I was singing at a club in New York, and one of the girls who worked there wanted to be a singer, didn't have a very good voice, but she did have a manager. And she brought her manager to see me, who brought Paul Leka from Columbia Records to hear me sing at a club in New York City. And he took me, Paul Leka took me to Clive Davis. Clive Davis had me do 3 auditions at Columbia Records before he signed me. I determined that he just liked to hear my voice, because what president of a major record company listens to somebody sing 3 times?
Well, luckily for you, he did.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, he signed me to Columbia Records, but then soon after that, he left Columbia Records and went, I don't think he went right to Arista, but wherever he went, he left me behind, because I wasn't signed to him, I was signed to the company.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
And when they sign you, do they sign you for a couple of years, or how does that work, actually?
They usually sign me for 5 years.
Oh, I see.
5 years, two years with 3 1-year options.
And are you committed to sing certain songs, or the songs they choose, or you can choose?
No,
your own?
No, you're not committed to sing any particular songs at all. You're not even committed to sing any particular kind of music. You're just committed to record a certain number of recordings. Generally, it's 1 a year. And if you determine to do more, then you can. But you're only obligated to do one recording a year, which I did at Columbia. And Clive got this team of brothers, 2 brothers, Melvin and Mervyn Steele, to come in and write a disco song for me. He wanted me to do disco music, and so I recorded Honeybee.
Which I just played. It's lovely.
Yeah, thanks. And so that was our first recording at Columbia. And then somebody from MGM Records, I can't remember his name right now, but he heard me singing Honeybee and decided that he liked it and he wanted me on the MGM label. And he got the company to buy my contract out from under Columbia. And I went up to MGM, which eventually merged with Polydor, and I ended up on Polydor for several years.
Well, where did you record Never Can Say Goodbye? Was that
Never Can Say Goodbye was, well, what happened was that when they brought me over to MGM Records, they wanted to do an album, so they were looking for other songs for the album, and I was having such great response in my nightclub show to not only to Honeybee, which I'd already recorded, but also I was having an even better response to Never Can Say Goodbye. So I determined that should be the title song and the next single and the title song for the album that they were hoping to record. So I asked them to come and see my show and see the response that I was getting. And they said, as a matter of fact, the president came down to a show that I was doing in Atlanta, Georgia. And they agreed with me, and that's how Never Can Say Goodbye was recorded.
Well, it became a hit, right? It was the first dance song to reach number one status in a dance music.
And I understand that it was the first disco record ever to be played on AM radio.
Wow. And then you did Just Keep Thinking About You, and that also went to number one on the Billboard Dance Club charts.
Yeah, yeah. That's my most recent. That was my most recent single. No, that was just before. That was in 2003. That was just before the latest dance hit that I had, which was Just No Other Way to Love You.
Mm.
Just No Other Way to Love Me, that is.
Well, you did one, too, that, again, went number one in Europe last night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And did you record that as a duet?
No, I recorded it as a single song, and that was recorded on MGM label in Germany.
Oh, okay. Who's Giorgio Moroder?
Giorgio Moroder. Recorded
Moroder.
That. He did that with me, yeah. He's the producer that did so many songs for Donna Summer. Mm-hmm.
Well, one of my favorite artists and someone that's a friend of mine is Gloria Lynn, and she did I Wish You Love, but I see that you did it as well.
Well, I never recorded it. That song, that was a song that I sang many times. But this I Wish You Love is a completely different song, completely different style of music, as a matter of fact.
You know, it's more for dance, right?
Was
it more
as a dance single? It's a dance song. Yeah, it's a dance song.
Well, your head must have been dizzy with all the chart toppers you were getting.
Well, I mean, I love what I do. I've always loved it. And so having chart toppers is, for me, kind of comes with the territory. I mean, it's something we all hope for. So when it happens, we're always very happy about that and hoping for more.
Well, did you think that I Will Survive would become as huge as it is? Because I was reading that it's been re-recorded over 200 times.
Yes,
by various artists.
When I first heard the lyrics, when I first read the lyrics of the song, I believed that it was a timeless lyric that everybody would be able to relate to, because even though the song is really about unrequited love, when I read the lyrics, I was relating to it because of the fact that I was in a back brace and that I had surgery on my spine, the fact that my mother had only a few years before passed away. That was something that I thought I would never survive. So those were the kinds of things that I was relating to the song, and I felt that other people would be able to relate the difficult circumstances in their lives to the song's lyrics as well. And turns out I was right.
Well, especially now when so many things are happening in America that people are losing their homes and things like that. You're just hanging on by your fingernails. And people are thinking that, oh, my God, but I believe I will survive. I need to survive in order to get through.
Yeah.
And
That's right. That's absolutely right. And the song seems to give such hope and encouragement to people, and it's been a blessing to me as well.
Indeed. I mean, it's almost 30 years old or older, right?
It's older.
It's
It'll be 35 years old next year, 35
my goodness.
Years. Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely a survivor.
Yes,
and obviously so are you, because you've been working. I see that you are you on tour? Are you on tour now?
No, I just came off of tour like a week ago. I'm now on vacation, something that I haven't done in a long, long time. It's been a long time since I've had a vacation. I thought, okay, it's time.
So you're going to be making your way to the Bronx on the 21st. So, do you live in Newark?
No, I don't live in Newark. I live in New Jersey. Yeah, I still live in New Jersey.
Okay. So you're a home girl.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I am.
We're looking forward to seeing you on the 21st.
Wonderful. I'm looking forward to it as well.
Have you ever performed in that venue?
No, I haven't.
It's a nice venue.
I'm looking forward to it. Is it? Oh, that's nice to hear.
Mm-hmm. And a mixed, you're going to have a nice mixed crowd of everybody.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
I'll hear that.
And it's a big auditorium, or venue, I should say. You love it. And I should give people that are listening the number of the box office, the Lehman Center box office, so they can call in for tickets. And that's 718-960-8833. And if you want to go online, you can do so at www.lehmancenter.org. And the venue is located at 250 Bedford Park Boulevard West in the Bronx. You can get there by the D or the 4 train at Bedford Park. So come on out, buy some tickets, because we all love Gloria Gaynor.
Thank you.
So you were a part of the disco dance era.
Absolutely.
That was a time. Don't you miss that? I mean, that was a time when people got out and danced, and you heard the DJs on the radio.
It was. I mean, you know what? I don't really miss it for myself, because whenever I do a show, whenever there's any kind of space, people will get up. They still get up and they still dance. And they have a wonderful time, and it's all ages, all nationalities, race, creeds, color. Disco music is the first song ever to cross every kind of boundary. So, you know, you get one mixed crowd, and everybody's just there to have fun and enjoy themselves and enjoy me, and I enjoy them. And so it's quite a little love affair going on there, and we just have a ball.
Well, how do you see that music, the business of music has changed? I mean, these days, a star will come and go so fast that you don't even they're there one night and then they've disappeared the next night.
Yeah.
The business
has
changed for you?
Well, you know, music seems to always mimic what's going on in the world socially. And so, you know, we kind of live in a disposable society these days. And that seems to apply to everything, including the stars. But as far as the music itself is concerned, I think that the biggest change and the most difficult change for me is that you no longer get on a recording that spontaneous creativity that can only happen between live musicians working together and inspiring one another.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, you really just, you don't get that very much anymore. You get it in the shows, but you don't get it on a recording.
But is everything synthesized?
Yeah, there's lots of electronics going on, and I know I have a problem with electronics. And when I record, I use both. I use the electronics, and I use live musicians. So I get a combination. I get the new and the old, the best of the new and the best of the old coming together to make what I always thought would be a spectacular record.
Well, that's the best part of what you're going to do at Lehman Center, because aren't you performing before a live orchestra?
I certainly am performing with my band, and they are wonderful. My singers are great, my band is great, and we're just going to have a good time.
Who are some of the band members?
Some of the band members?
Mm-hmm. Give them a shout out.
Pardon?
We'll give them a shout out.
Yeah, well, we shout out to Mark and Mark Barron and Ivan Bosley, Tim Quick, John DiGiulio, Dan Cipriano. And my singers, oh my God, Tracy Landry and Dan Ray and Latrice Bush and Kimberly, oh my God, Kimberly Nicole and Leslie Pugh. Yeah, great, great singers and great musicians. And like I say, we have fun on the stage, and we just hope that everybody has as much fun in the audience as we do on stage.
No, trust me, Lehman Center audience will be jumping up in the aisles.
Excellent.
Because they love, you know, it's a very fun crowd. And I wanted to ask you also about, well, you just don't sing. You also do some acting, don't you? Or you were at least appeared in Broadway?
I've done some acting. I've been on Broadway with Smokey Joe's Cafe. That was wonderful. I had a great time doing that. And a few things on television, a couple TV shows like That 70s Show and The Wayans Brothers and Ally McBeal when it was on, and a couple of other things, you know.
Don't Forget the Lyrics.
Yeah.
Was
right.
That a game show?
Yeah,
Don't Forget the Lyrics?
That was a game show. That's a game show. Don't Forget the Lyrics. That was great. Also did Donnie Marie when they were on. That was wonderful. Looking forward to doing Who Do You Think You Are?
I don't know that show. Who Do You Think You Are?
Oh, yeah.
What type of show is that?
Well, it goes back into your history and finds out who, you know, your ancestors, and, you know, that's why it's called Who Do You Think You Are, because people have found out that they're related to kings and queens and slave owners and slaves and just all kinds of people. People are finding that, you know, a part of their ancestry.
They have a show like that?
Yeah.
I had no idea. Wow, that's cool. Because I know Oprah was talking about something like that, but I thought she was talking about it in terms of just search out your history.
No, I think she was on that herself.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, it is. It's very interesting.
And you've been on it, or you plan to be on it?
I haven't. I'm hoping to be on it, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That would be wonderful.
I'm just, they've asked me to be on it, so I'm just, we're just trying to get my schedule situated so that I can take the time and do that.
Well, here's something exciting happened to you.
Look out for it.
I'm sorry? I didn't hear you.
I said anyone listening should be, you know, look out for the show and for when I'm going to be on if they're interested.
Well, what do you think is in your background? A lot of people of color have Native American in them. Do you?
I definitely have Native American in me. I also have Jamaican. Some of my family members are from Jamaica. We're definitely Native American, Blackfoot Indians.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Sounds like East and West. Or North America.
Northwest America, yeah.
Oh, tell me also about, your book. You wrote an autobiography.
It's kind of an expose. It is about my life from kind of young until up until like 1990, something like that, 1993. Is when I first got it. So I, at that point, did it up to current time. And it just tells about different things that happened to me throughout my young life and throughout my career.
So can you share a little excerpt with us?
Well, I talk about my family, you know, different things that happened with my brothers. I have five brothers and a sister, and so I talk about how they sang and I wasn't allowed, and I talk about how I got into show business, which was kind of almost like a fairy tale, because I was working at a department store in Newark, and I was on vacation, and my girlfriend called and asked me, could I babysit for her, because her babysitter had called in sick. And I went to babysit for her, and at that point in my life, I had never sung in public, and I just wanted someone to hear me sing, because as I said, when I was young, my brothers all sang, but they never listened to me, because I was a girl. So I just wanted somebody to hear me sing. And when I was babysitting for her, I began to hear somebody's footsteps walking up in the upstairs above me. And I thought, if I could hear them walking, if I sang loud enough, they could hear me sing. So I followed the footsteps, and I would just sing. I did that every day for about a week. And then one night, my brother and I went to movies, and on the way back to the bus stop, we stopped in this club. And they were playing the music in the club, because we stopped because it was a band playing there that I heard about, and I heard they were good. So we stopped to listen to the band, and they were playing Save Your Love for Me by Nancy Wilson. And I was sitting in my seat singing the song because I knew it. So I was singing it to myself. And later on, someone went up on the stage and said, ladies and gentlemen, there's a young lady in the audience. She's got a really great voice. Her name is Gloria. And if you give her a round of applause, maybe we can get her up to do a number. So they were looking at me. And
Did your brother do that?
No. Uh-huh. It was an opportunity that I'd always wanted. And I went up and sang. And they asked me, what did I want to sing? I said, of course, Save Your Love for Me. And they played the song, and I sang it. I got a standing ovation. And when I went back to my seat, the band leader came over and told me that the club owner was the person who lived in the apartment above my girlfriend.
Get out.
And he heard her call my name one day as I left the building. That's how he got my first name. So when he saw me come in the club, he told the band about me, and they were having trouble with their singer. She wasn't even there that night. She was just, like, undependable. And so they came over and said, you know, you sound really great. We'd love to have you come and work with us. And I said, sure, I'd love that. That'd be wonderful. I said, we can get together and rehearse for a few weeks. And they said, no, we need you to start tomorrow night.
Wow. Were you scared?
I was scared. But it was what I wanted. And so I've been preparing for it. I had my mother make me dresses, and because it was what I wanted to do. And so, you know, like they say about the Boy Scouts, be prepared. So I was prepared. I had a little autograph book that I'd gotten from high school, And I brought that the next morning to meet the band in the club, and we rehearsed. I gave them the autograph book because every time I learned a song, I wrote it down in the book. And I had over 200 songs in the book. So I said, you know, pick out the songs that you know because I know them all. So very quickly they got my keys, we rehearsed, and I started singing that night.
Wow.
And never looked back.
And every night thereafter?
Yeah. And, yeah, I worked with them there for 2 weeks, and then we went to another club called Paradise Lounge in Newark for 2 weeks. And then we left there and went to Canada. So within
Canada?
A month's time, I was in, yeah, in a month's time, I was international. You can tell me nothing.
Oh, my goodness. And you just started working
yeah.
with that particular band?
Mm-hmm.
How long
yeah.
were you with them?
I was with them for about 6 months, and then the work got really slow with them, and I ended up going back to work at Bamberger's for about a year, and then I started working with another group, and we started traveling. We went out to the Midwest. We went out to the Midwest in January for 2 weeks and got back in December.
Wow.
Yeah. So
what
that's
was it like
I
when
got.
You first
and
left America? Was that a thrill?
Well, it was.
Beyond
I wasn't
Canada.
As thrilling as I thought it would be because, well, beyond Canada, that was thrilling. Because the first place that I went to beyond Canada was England.
Wow, what was
that? That was very thrilling because, I mean, it was the longest plane ride I'd ever taken. It was like a 6-hour plane ride. And it was great. It was wonderful. I loved it.
Now, does the international audience completely different from Americans?
No. You know what I found out? I mean, I've traveled to more than 80 countries. And I found out that people don't differ from country to country. They differ from town to town. In other words, small towns are the same all over the world. The people get they don't get a lot of entertainment because people don't want to go into small towns. And they feel like there's not going to be a big enough audience, they're not going to make enough money or whatever. So when they do get entertainment, they're very, very appreciative, they're very happy, and they immediately let you know it. Big cities all over the world, and the United States included, are jaded. You know,
are what?
Spoiled.
Jaded?
They're jaded.
Mm-hmm.
They're jaded. And so when you go there, they kind of sit there with their arms folded across their chest and entertain you if you think you can.
Oh, my goodness.
So,
make you work
you know,
harder.
It takes them a minute to warm up. Doesn't, you know, I normally don't have a problem getting people warmed up, but, you know, when you first walk, there's no jumping up and down when they hear your name, like in a small town.
Well, I think you got Prince Albert warmed up because didn't he give you the Legend Award or present that to you?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. His mother was an admirer of mine.
Grace Kelly?
And so was he. Yeah. Yeah, and so is he. I performed, as a matter of fact, for her last Red Cross ball. And so she and Princess, Prince Rainier,
Caroline?
Prince Rainier and Prince Albert, they all have listened to and enjoyed my music, and I've enjoyed performing for them.
What is Monaco like? You hear about it. It's a small principality.
Monaco is a very small principality. They don't pay any taxes, but you have to make a certain
now
amount
let's go
of
there.
Money before you live there. Yeah, well, you have to be very well off to live there because they expect you to take care of your property and, you know, keep the place looking immaculate. And it's a very pretty little town.
Well, the Legend Award, isn't that a coveted award? That's a grand award to receive, isn't it?
It's a very coveted award. In fact, it
prestigious.
Was a Legend Award at the World Music Awards. So, yeah, it's very, very much coveted, and I'm very, very pleased and proud to have received it and was very pleased to have been presented it by Prince Albert.
Yeah.
It was quite an honor. It was quite an honor, yeah.
Well, back in America, I understand you went to Nashville to record a gospel CD, that's a little different for you, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I didn't go there to record. I went there to write.
Oh,
so I wrote,
okay.
I wrote a number of songs with a number of, I think like five songs with four different writers, and we haven't released any of it, but I am recording my first contemporary Christian CD this year, and it will definitely be released before this year is over.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, one of the songs is called He Gave Me My Life, or He Gave Me Life?
He Gave Me Life. He Gave Me Life, yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know what I want to do is, it's called He Gave Me Life, I Will Survive?
Right. Because, see, the original name of the song is I Will Survive. But I got permission from the writer to change the lyric, the title to He Gave Me Life with I Will Survive in parentheses so that people wouldn't think I was recording the same song again.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I want to do is, because everybody's been waiting to hear you sing I Will Survive,
uh-huh.
I'm going to play it now.
Okay, great.
Gloria Gaynor singing I Will Survive.
But then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong, and I grew strong, and I learned how to get along. And so you're back from outer space. I just walked in to find you here with that sad look upon your face. I should have changed that stupid lock. I should have made you leave your key. If I'd have known for just one second you'd be back to bother me, boy, now go. Walk out the door. Just turn around now, 'cause you're not.
Surviving all over my floor, dancing, and because you have to be dancing when you hear that song.
Thank you.
You're quite welcome. And I want to, you know, I grew up with problems with my legs, and I saw that you also have suffered for 20 years with osteoarthritis.
Yeah, I've had problems with my legs. I was told that probably I did too many deep knees. Back in the day, there was this dance, I don't know what it was called, but what it amounted to was a girl standing in 3-inch heels and doing deep knee bend all the way to the floor in those heels. And I used to love to do that dance. Boy, if I had those years back.
So that was a killer. So like those platform shoes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we used to do that. I used to do it all the time. And I guess I hear that that's what the problem is with my knee. But I had total knee replacement in one knee. And from time to time, I'm having some challenges and resisting some pains in that other knee.
Affect the way you walk at times, or?
I don't think it affects the way I walk. The only thing I think affects the way I walk is my back. I mean, I had the surgery on my spine. I have 2 metal brackets in my spine.
So
if I'm really tired, I tend to bend forward because the way they put them in my back, it makes my back flat, which makes me tend to lean forward and not even realize that I'm leaning that way because that's the way they've kind of shaped me. Other than that, you know, I'm good. I'm good. You know,
you're surviving.
I will survive.
You will survive. Well, that's what I was going to ask you, if that song is somewhat of a personal mantra for you, because you've been able to overcome challenges in your life that have affected you?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we all have problems and things that we have to overcome, things that we are all trying to survive, which is why this song is so popular. But, I've survived a lot of different things. My mother's death, my death of 4 brothers, and a divorce as well. So I truly am a survivor. I overcome and will continue to overcome whatever life throws at me.
Well, you said you had 5 brothers, so now it's just you and your brother?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You must be close.
Yeah. Yeah, we are.
Yeah. And he sings too, but not professionally.
No, that's the one brother that doesn't sing.
No, oh, isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I also noticed that you are quite the humanitarian. I mean, God, what don't you do in terms of charities? I mean, shall I read some of the names of the people you're involved with?
If you like.
The Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation in North Jersey affiliate, the Helena Time Foundation, the Revlon Walk for Women and Christian Broadcasting Network. You're a member of the United Cerebral Palsy Hudson County Board of Directors. You support Save the Children. You sponsor 3 children through the Christian Children's Fund. You were a chairholder for the New Jersey Crime Victims Law Center. You were the 2008 honorary chair for the New York Diabetes Association. And you support Denise Rich's Angel Ball. That's a foundation for melanoma research. And, well, that's just a few. So you must have a huge heart and a lot of time.
Well, God's been good to me, and I just believe that, you know, when God is good to you, then you should share whatever you've been blessed with, you know.
I agree. Well, tell me about you sponsor 3 children. Tell me about that.
Well, they're four now. I sponsor children from what used to be the Christian Children's Fund, now just called Child Fund now. And, you know, these are children who are suffering poverty. You know, they write to me, I write back to them, and they write to me about how they're planting corn and they're picking their corn and they're making meal and they're using it for food or they're trying to sell it or whatever. They're getting in water and it's just, we can't even imagine living like that. So this is really the least that I or any of us can do.
Well, where are these children? Are they all around the world?
They're in Ethiopia, the ones that I've sponsored in Ethiopia.
Are they in Ethiopia?
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing that is such an ancient civilization at one time, one of the greatest civilizations, and now it's come to what it is?
Poverty. It is amazing. And so much of it has to do with so much drought that goes on there. You know, they get so little water. And so, you know, they have that difficulty. You know, they have those difficulties. And we here have, you know, so much. And we're so busy complaining and
tell me we're spoiled brats, really.
They should be. We really are. I always say that, you know, when we sound complaining, we should be shipped to places like that and made to live there for a couple of years. You know.
Boy, would we learn appreciation and how to be humble.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, one of your pet projects, and I shouldn't say pet, but one of the projects that I mentioned earlier was that you hope to build a recreation center and work with teen parents. Tell me about that.
Well, yeah, this is just what I call a healing, learning, and recreation center for teen parents, and this includes the mothers and fathers. And the children, the center will partner with other learning organizations where they can finish their education and go into either college or a profession or a vocation so that they can learn how to support themselves and their families. And my purpose is to help them to learn to follow their passions so that not only will they make enough money to support their family, but they can be happy doing it. They can be at peace with themselves and happy doing it. So many people today work a job that they hate.
Oh, yeah.
And so I want them to learn to determine what it is that really, really makes them happy as something they can do in the way of a job, a profession, or a vocation, and help them to follow that and seek that out and become proficient in those areas. I also want to teach them how to form peaceful, harmonious, equitable relationships. First, of course, with themselves, with their children, with the mothers and fathers of their children, so that you know they can have a viable family unit in which to raise up children who themselves will be contributing members of society. Who are able to care for themselves.
But also how to handle money, because in some way, so many of us really don't know how to handle our money.
Absolutely, absolutely. All of this will be a part of the curriculum that will help these children to have a well-rounded family life for themselves and their children and just be happy. I also believe that if you have children, your child, and you have children, you haven't finished playing, so recreation will be a big part of that, of my center, where they can come and leave their children with people who care about children, who take care of them. I hope to have cameras so that they can work where they are in the center. They can look in on that room and see that the children are being cared for and loved, and while they play with.
And this would free them up to go back to school or whatever they need to do.
Absolutely.
The parent, the teenage parent.
Yes. Yes.
Well, do you think there's too much of that happening, that children having children in so early in life?
Too much of that happening. I mean, listen, in my opinion, if one child has a child, it's too many.
Yeah.
But in today's society, there's a lot of that going on, and therefore they don't have enough in the way of knowledge, wisdom, experience to share with their children. So their children grow up just a little bit less prepared than they are. So, you know, we want to stop that. We want to bring that to a halt.
And also the teenagers get villainized now. And what is your thoughts about Trayvon Martin?
Well, my thoughts about Trayvon Martin is that they need to bring about justice in that situation. They just, you know, like in every other situation, they just need to stop fooling around and playing around and pandering to whomever they're pandering to, and bring forth justice in that case.
Well, did you know someone told me yesterday that that Stand Your Ground law is not just in Florida, but in 22 states?
Really?
Yeah. So it's almost like if when you set that up, you're saying to people that you have the right to carry a gun and go out there and challenge somebody. That's scary.
Yeah, it is scary. It is scary, but we know that there's a lot of that going on without the law.
Oh, yeah. Well, speaking of that, do you think President Obama will survive a second term?
I'm finding that hard to predict. I'm finding that very hard to predict. I really, really don't know. My feeling is that whoever our president is our president, and I'm a Christian, and so the Bible says, pray for your leaders. So what bothers me more than anything is people who don't seem to recognize that and are coming against our president. I mean, he's our president.
Don't even want to call him president.
Whether you like him or not, he's our president. You know, and when you come against him while he's our president, the rest of the world is looking on you like you're stupid.
Thank you. You are right about that. That we don't see how the rest of the world is viewing us. But here you got an intelligent man, someone that at least seems to have a heart. How many presidents promised health care and never did a thing? This guy gives it to you, and they're busy trying to destroy it.
Well,
that's the one thing he gave, trying to get to the people.
And we live in a country where everybody is entitled to their opinion, but you don't put people down because their opinion is different from yours. That's why we have an election system. You don't like it? Go to the polls and vote it out if you think you can. And when the majority wins and the majority hasn't agreed with you, suck it up and respect the office of the president.
Exactly. Well, tell me, what is the Golden Camera Award?
The Golden Camera Award is similar to our Oscar. It's a German. It's an award given in Germany that to their actors and actors, and even international actors and entertainers as well, who have worked in film, who have done songs that have been in films, singers who have done songs that have been in films, composers who have written songs that have been in films. So this award is given to them, and it's very similar to an Oscar.
Did you get one?
Yes, I did.
And
I did last year.
For your lifetime achievement in music, right?
Right, yes. And I got that along with, who was there? Why do these names escape me? John Travolta.
Oh, really?
John Travolta got one at the same time. And, oh, my goodness. I can't think of the names right now.
Well, it doesn't really matter.
Renee Zellweger.
Oh, really?
Was there. Yeah. Danny DeVito was there, and he gave it to Michael J. Fox.
Oh,
yeah.
I hear Michael J. Fox is back, right? He's in a show?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think he's appearing on a show again. You know, I don't know if it's like extended guest, probably, something like that.
Mm. He looks great tonight.
Yeah. You gotta admit that he's withstanding his what does he have? I forgot the
Parkinson's.
Name of his
Parkinson's.
Parkinson's.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's able to move his body in such a way that
you
can't really see that he has it.
No, he's great. He really is great.
He really is.
Mm-hmm.
So we are getting near the end of the show.
Okay.
Is there anything that I haven't asked you that you would like to share with us?
No, I think we pretty much covered everything. Oh, I do have a single coming out.
Oh, tell me about that.
I have a single coming out very soon now. It's called All the Love, All the Man That I Need. and it will be out shortly, in the next few weeks.
And what's it called again?
All the Man That I Need.
All the Man That I Need? All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, where can we get that?
Well, you'll receive one in the mail, and so we'll be looking forward to you playing it.
Oh, thank you. You're going to send one to me. That'll be great.
Absolutely.
Oh, thanks so much.
Yeah.
And but for the others that are hearing it, can they go? What is your website, by the way?
Well, they'll be able to GloriaGaynor.com.
Okay,
and
Gloria.
And they'll be able to get it there, and they'll be able to get it on iTunes and
CD Baby?
And most of the electronic outlets.
Okay, probably Amazon.
Yeah.
.com
yeah,
and so
absolutely.
Forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm looking absolutely. Forward to hearing it. And also, when your gospel song comes out, too, your gospel
thank
of
you.
CD.
Yeah. Yeah, great.
And I want to mention again, folks, that Gloria Gaynor will be at the Lehman Center for the Performing Arts. That's at 250 Bedford Park West Boulevard in the Bronx on April 21st. Oh, yeah, you're going to be sharing the show, the stage with the Hitmen. Have you worked with them before?
Yes. No, I haven't. I haven't. Look forward to that as well.
And Colonel Abrams.
Mm-hmm.
Have you worked with him?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay. So that's going to be an experience for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it will.
All right. So, again, let me give the phone number of the box office so people can call up for tickets. And that's at 718-960-8833. And if you're a person like me that's always online, you might want to go to www.lehmancenter.org. We're really delighted today to have had as our guest and have as our guest Gloria Gaynor, one of the most enduring stars and talented musical stars on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And when I mentioned your name today, everybody was going, oh, yeah, Gloria Gaynor.
great.
So thank you so
thank
much,
you.
Gloria, for coming on and gracing our show today.
Thank you so much, Natalia.
And chatting with us on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul. And I'm Deirdre Shuler, and I want to thank my audience for making my topic topically yours. And, well, Gloria, I never can say goodbye, but I guess I'm going to have to.
Well, I will say goodbye. I'll say so long and hope to see you April 25th.
Oh, I'm going to be there, so can we take a picture backstage?
Absolutely.
All right, then I'll come and say hello to you backstage and take a picture.
Thank
you. For now, I'm going to end the show. I'm going to thank my audience for making my topic topically yours, and we're going to end the show with Never Can Say Goodbye. So we'll just say so long for now. And here we are with Gloria Gaynor, Never Can Say Goodbye. Take a second, I think.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
I never can say goodbye. You know you love.
to the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul.